Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 66 countries, such as the United States, Brazil, Australia, Canada, Mexico, the UK, and all across Europe. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, but don't forget our episodes at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We are live right here on Life Transformation Radio, hosted by the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are live Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community. Never miss an episode by joining our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, especially on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are having a great impact in the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show my friend, Keisha Rivers. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? It is going great.
I'm so, so pumped to have you on the show. I was on your show, and it was outstanding. And so now you get to come on my show. So awesome.
Yeah, awesome. That was so much fun, though. I love talking to you.
Likewise. So the title of this episode is Identifying Your Vision of Success with Keisha Rivers. Keisha is the founder and chief outcome facilitator of the CARS Group, specializing in assisting clients to identify their vision of success, then create an action plan and strategy to get there. She is also the founder and executive director of the CARS Institute for Learning and Collaboration, a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide training, resources, and support to new and emerging nonprofits. Keisha holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education from the University of Pennsylvania and a master's degree in curriculum and instruction with a concentration in leadership and development from the University of New Orleans. A gifted speaker, facilitator, and trainer, attendees at her events have remarked at her passion, professionalism, talent, creativity, and ability to communicate that not only educates but inspires action. It is this undeniable belief in what's possible and the passion with which she communicates her belief that empowers her clients to find ways to make the possible more probable and the probable, therefore, doable. In the show notes, you have all of the links, mindsettomastery.com with a two, mindsettomastery.com. You can get more information about what she's up to at thecarsgroup.com with a K. K-A-R-S, carsgroup.com. Go to carsinstitute.org. And LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of the social medias are there. Connect with her. So the first question I have for you, Keisha, is one of the most important questions that I think anybody could ask, which is why. So why do you do what you do?
I have always been a lifelong learner. I've always been kind of addicted to that process of discovering something, pushing myself to do something and to be something better or different than what I am now. And I found that, you know, with my background as an educator, I always wanted other people to experience that. It's such a high when you discover something new, you learn something new, you push yourself past what you thought was a mountain or a barrier, and you overcome a fear in order to come out on the other side. And I just wanted that for other people. I realized that what I do is a talent and a gift and a skill that I have developed, and that walking people through that process is something that they need, and sometimes they don't know that they need, but once they get out on the other side, it's so invigorating to actually see lives changed and people becoming closer to what they are actually designed and destined to be, instead of just existing in where they are.
That's awesome. It's a very, very amazing why. You know, I'm always fascinated at the response of people's why. Sometimes it's just, you know, I love seeing change. I love seeing transformation. Like, that's awesome. You know, and then sometimes it's, well, I went through this hard thing, and this is where it came from. You know, I was assaulted. I was this. You know, but having a deep why for what you do sometimes stems from the transformational moments that have happened in our life. So could you give us one transformational moment that was instrumental in preparing you or pushing you onto the path that you're on today?
Man, I gotta just pick one.
I know, right?
Okay, so I'll choose the last one. And you know, every time we go through a different version of who we are, there are these pivot points that cause us to have to make a decision about whether we're going to stay the way we were or whether we're going to do something different and become who we need to be to go to that next level. And so mine came about 6 years ago, and I discovered I'd been having some health issues, and I had scheduled a routine, quote unquote, surgery that I was supposed to be in for a couple hours, and it was basically outpatient. I was supposed to go home. But during the process of, you know, scheduling the surgery and getting prepped and everything else, something happened, and I needed to go into surgery a full week before they had me scheduled. And because of that, the original surgeon that I've been working with was already scheduled for another procedure, couldn't change. And I got someone else who was filling in, which was great, except that that person didn't read all the notes of what we were supposed to do and not do.
Oh, wow.
So, as a result, you know, she went in, she did the procedure, and instead of removing something that she was supposed to remove, she just drained it and left it there. But she didn't tell anybody else that she changed what she was going to do. And so as a result, I ended up with a massive infection that I didn't know about until about maybe a week or so later. And after, you know, I went back and I had developed this massive infection that had started spreading to, you know, the rest of my body. And I remembered when I went in to the doctor, I'd gotten an emergency appointment, and I went into the doctor and I was like, you know, I'm in so much pain. And he touched my stomach and I almost literally jumped off the table. 2 o'clock was my appointment. By 2:30 or so, I had seen the doctor and was being examined. By 5 o'clock, I was in surgery again.
Wow.
And he said that when they went in, they realized that my organs and everything was so infected that everything was just kind of meshed together. They couldn't figure out what was what, and they couldn't do anything. So I was admitted to the hospital. They started pumping me with antibiotics. They actually flew in antibiotics from the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. They put me on, I had a tube down my throat. My organs started shutting down. Everything was touch and go. They weren't sure if I was going to make it. And throughout all of that, I was going through this thing in my mind. Of course, I don't want to die. But more so, I just kept saying, was this it? Like all of the stuff that I said I was going to do once. You know, I'll do this once I get to a certain point in my business. I'll do this once I get a certain amount of money. I'll try this once. I'll learn this when. And when I was going through all of that, I realized that all the stuff that I said I was going to put off, there was no reason for me to have put it off. So when I went through all of this, you know, and I had to go back in for a third surgery, they were in there for 10 hours. And then after the procedure was done, it took me 9 months to literally get back on my feet. I had to go back through this process of being able to walk and, being able to do things. I was taking 32 pills a day, and which is why I don't take anything now. I lost all taste buds. You know, I couldn't taste anything with food. You know, there were so many limitations placed on me in terms of what I could do and what I couldn't do. And so after that, you know, of course, being in the hospital, and I was in the hospital for 14 days, coming out, taking about 9 months to get myself back on track where I could do things, I realized, you know, I lost all my clients because I couldn't service anybody, couldn't do anything. Right. And I was going through this process, I wrote a book called Be the Creator of Your Success, Not a Victim of Your Circumstances. And what kept me going was envisioning what I wanted my life to be like, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to experience, what I wanted to learn, what I wanted, how I wanted to grow, all of the things that I kept saying, I'll do that when, because all this other stuff in life seemed to be more important. I realized during that process when I couldn't do anything, I was flat on my back, I couldn't do anything. And it just made me think about what my life was and who I was and all of the things that I kept shoving away and pushing to the side because I always thought something else was more important than me being who I was supposed to become. And
wow.
So from that point, I realized that, you know, all of these little things that we put in our lives and we look at as being important, you know, our career, our, you know, responsibilities, you know, our schedule, you know, all of these other things that we give precedence to, they can be great opportunities, but sometimes we turn them into boxes and chains and cages. Where this is who I am now, so this is what I do. And we really stunt our own growth and inhibit our own growth and transformation and development because we feel like we have arrived. And now that we feel we have arrived, we spend all of our time sustaining what we've built as a status quo instead of continuing to evolve and develop and become better. So once I went through that, I, you know, kind of went through this period of, you know what, why, what, what's the worst that could happen to me now? Like, I face death, don't care. Just do it now because you don't know what's going to be going on later. And so then, you know, and then I started talking to people who, as I was, you know, sharing some parts of my story and what I was doing and what I was going through, I realized that there were some people who were going through their own mini version of that, but they didn't get to a life-threatening, you know, situation. They were just stuck in the minutia and the monotony of existing.
Right.
And when you get stuck there, it's really hard to get pulled out. And that's why so many people talk about these moments where they almost lost their life, when really they almost lost their existence. And then they decide, you know what, I'm going to start living now.
Right. You know, we talk about human beings all the time, you know, and my goal in life is to more of human doing than human being. Because it seems like human being is just we're existing. You know, but you know, we talked earlier, it's more than just existing. Like, I don't want to just exist.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do stuff. I want to be stuff. I want to, you know, it's all about action, you know. And when you're taking action and you're taking massive action, the results that come are just phenomenal. And then sometimes they show up in ways that you never even realized.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we're living the life that we want, and we're trying so hard. And then when something happens, it's taken away from us. We don't want to change. We don't want to grow. You know, we're comfortable where we are. You know, and what I've noticed is that everything happens for a reason. Everything. Yeah. And everything is happening for you. So with that mentality, you know, how do you make it through something like that? If you know, if everything is happening for you, it may not feel like it at the time, but how do you overcome something like that? What's the mindset that you're using?
And it's interesting that you say mindset, because one of the things that I started really focusing on is mindset to mastery, because I realized that success, failure, whatever you want starts in your mind. It starts and ends in your mind. And the mindset that I had to take was that this is maybe happening to me. And like you said, it's happening for you, because it's happening for your growth, for your development, for, you know, something that's going to push you into, you know, being stronger or better in some way. And what I found was that my attitude and the way I thought about it made such a big difference. I mean, the doctors were even remarking that, I can't believe you're in so much pain and you're going through all of this, and yet still you're still laughing. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm 6 feet under, so, you know.
Huh.
And they just looked at me like, you know, we've gone in and we've seen patients that were, you know, crying and so depressed and couldn't get out of bed or anything. And I said, well, I recognize that life is frail. It's fragile. It's not guaranteed. And I recognize that I have a responsibility to this gift. I can use it. I can enjoy it. I can do the best that I can with it and look for the wonder in it. Or every day I can say, I hate this. I don't like this, but not do anything to change it. So the mindset piece has to be, and it's not just being a Pollyanna and always looking on the bright side. It's being realistic. And when you're realistic and you're honest and you start separating the circumstances from who you are, then you'll start to see that, you know what, this is temporary. This doesn't have to be permanent. But so often we take on the things that happen to us and we now say, this is who we are. Oh, well, this business didn't work out, or this situation, or this relationship didn't work out, or this happened and I failed. I'm a failure. No, something happened that you weren't successful at. So learn from it and see what else that you're going to be better at. But so often that whole mindset piece of taking on all the bad stuff and saying, now this is who I am, that is really what causes so many people to get stuck. And they start existing instead of living, because they don't want to push themselves past what's uncomfortable.
100%. Oh, definitely. 100%. Inside of an organization, the worst thing that could ever be said when somebody asks why they do things is just the way they've always done it. And that phrase is just, it wrecks people, it wrecks organizations. It's just the way we've always done it, which means you haven't grown. You haven't pushed past anything. You know, you're stuck in they call it the rat race, or, you know, whatever. But growth is part of our six basic human needs. We need to feel like we're going somewhere. We need to feel like we're growing. We need to feel like we're moving ahead in life. We need to feel like we're on this journey. And so many people are stuck and they can't figure it out. So many people I talk to are just still like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Right.
And they need people like you and me and other mentors and coaches, whatever, to walk alongside them for a little bit and say, hey, man, you got this.
And you know, that's the key thing, because everybody has this idea that I can do this by myself. You know, I'm guilty of it. You know, my control freak comes out every so often, and I'm like, okay, the only way I can make sure it gets done is if I do it myself. But you have to recognize that you don't know everything. You're not supposed to know everything. I don't care if Google and Alexa are your best friends. You don't know everything. And especially when you're trying to get to a new place, you are the worst person to diagnose what you need, because you're at a place where this is fear. It's scary. You're vulnerable. You have all these emotions tied to it because you feel like you're afraid, because you fear, you know, you failed before. And it's during those points when you're making the most difficult decisions and you're making taking the most difficult actions and really getting outside of your comfort zone that you need to come alongside a coach or a consultant or a strategist or have a support group. Because when you're going into the new, you can't rely on what you did before. I mean, that would be like, you know, you have a baby. I mean, because you have a new one, and she's learning how to walk. And imagine if the only person that she learned how to walk from was somebody else her own age that didn't know how to walk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'd both be, you know, hanging on to the furniture and falling over and everything, because you can't learn to do something from someone that hasn't done it yet. And most of the people that are doing this kind of stuff, we've been there. We've done it. We've come out on the other side, and now we're like, hey, let me show you the steps. Let me get you, you know, across. Hey, don't go on that one because the bridge is out and you're going to drown. I mean, we show you because we've been there.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, in the military, there's a story that gets told about PTSD. And to shorten it up, there is somebody – in a hole, and they don't know how to get out, right? So they don't know how to get out, and there's people walking by going, oh, wow, that hole looks really deep. Wow, that's crazy, you know, which to them, they just, you know, dig deep, man, dig deep. You can do it, dig deep. And so they dig deep, which means they dig deeper. The hole gets deeper, so they're digging the hole deeper. And then somebody else walks by, and they say, hey, pick yourself up, man. You got this. So they try to pick themselves up, and then all the dirt falls around them because they're grabbing up the dirt and trying to pull, and all of the dirt falls into them. So then the military people walk by, and they're like, oh, they jump into the hole. And the guy's like, what are you doing? He's like, I've been here before. I know how to get out. That's the difference. They've been there before. They already know how to get out. So, yeah, you can Google, you can YouTube, you can do anything else. You know, I mean, the internet is such a glorious thing, because I could just Google right now how to start a podcast. And I'd find out how to become a speaker. I think it's like one of the most searched items, you know, according to like the Google Analytics. Like, there's a way that you can go into Google, like the keyword planner. And if you type in like speaker or like get booked or something like that, I mean, there's like hundreds of thousands of people are searching for this stuff. But what they don't realize is when I mentor speakers, and I'm sure you've run into this too, I'm mentoring them and I'm like, okay, this is how you do this, how you do this. Okay, yeah, I already know all that about Google. I already Googled that. I already know about that. I'm like, okay. Did you know that every time you get booked to speak or you get paid, you probably give somebody a W-9? What's a W-9? Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not stuff that you would find on Google somewhere. That's just based on experience. Or that, you know, hey, I want to LLC myself. Oh, that's awesome. Maybe you should talk to somebody. Well, no. Mm-hmm. Google said, well, you should probably talk to somebody just to make sure. Because you can get any information, but you don't have somebody who's there already, kind of not judging, but just being that
guiding,
that soundboard, guide. Yes, you don't have somebody guiding you through that process.
And you know, it's funny because the name of my company, Kars, K A R S, it stands for Knowledge Always Reigns Supreme. And what I always tell people is information is static, knowledge is dynamic. Knowledge is applied information. Google has all of the information. But when you talk to people who have been through the experience, they have the knowledge because they've actually applied information that they, you know, and experiences to now craft this body of, oh, this is how you handle that. This is what you do. This is the mental attitude that you have to have when you approach this. You know, this is how you get yourself out of this hole. And because they've been there. And so much now in our society, because we have so much information readily at our fingertips, that we are always missing the knowledge piece. And when we miss the knowledge piece, we fall short.
Oh, absolutely. I think that most people today are so inundated with information that it's hard to make a decision. For example, Grant Cardone, for those who do not know him, is a real estate speaker, investor, sales, probably the best salesperson I've ever seen. He's got a conference called 10X Growth Conference or 10X Growth Con. And he's got his own TV show. I mean, the guy is the sales guy. And he's always talking about how he leverages debt and debt. He loves debt. Give me more debt because I'll leverage it and I'll have other people pay off my debts. Love debt, love debt, all of those stuff. If you listen to Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey's whole mantra is debt is dumb, cash is king.
Right.
And debt's bad. No debt. Get rid of debt. Debt is terrible. Debt is dumb. But then Grant Cardone's like, I love debt. Give me some debt because I'm leveraging the debt to pay off other stuff and I'm having other people pay me and I'm having other people – like that's part of real estate. You buy the real estate. You have people, you know, rent out your house or whatever. People are paying your rent. Like you're leveraging the debt again. You know, so, you know, I can look up 15 different things about speakers and I don't know if they're all right. I don't know if they're all wrong, but I just know what works for me. So, yeah, it's difficult with all that information. And you're almost done by paralysis because of the information.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And like, so see, that's when you really have to start thinking about what resonates and what connects for you. Because, and you have to understand where people come from. You have to understand their why. Okay. Grant Cardone, his why is that he's built this empire, and because he works in real estate, he understands that, you know, the debt ratio and how that plays into building more wealth because of him holding certain assets. Dave Ramsey's story on debt is different because he accumulated a lot of debt because he was trying to live a lifestyle that was beyond his means, and when things crashed, then everything just got pulled out from under his feet. So you can't just look at the message. You have to look at the messenger and the reasons for that, you know, their why. Why are they saying this? And, yeah, the method works for different people, but you have to know yourself to be able to understand what method works best for you based on what your why is.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely agree with you. You have to have the full context. Of everything that's happening. 100% agree. So how is it that you elevate the lives around you? What is kind of your, you know, your zone of genius or what is it that you're specializing in right now that is transforming lives?
I am, I call myself a chief outcome facilitator. And
I love it.
I focus on assisting my clients with achieving their outcomes. And so I have this gift of, I tell people I'm random abstract, which means that I see everything at once, like all 50 million pieces of it. You tell me an idea that you have and I can see everything. I see the end of it and then I backtrack to be able to see the beginning. And so using that, I'm able to assist my clients with crafting and fine-tuning that big vision of success and honing in on the specific outcomes that they want to see happen. And then we backtrack from there. I call it deconstruct to reconstruct, where we backtrack and figure out what is needed to make this happen. And then we focus on developing a strategy and an action plan and steps that are going to get them from where they are right now to where they want to be with that vision. So I'm able to use this gift that I have of seeing the big picture to now help others to be able to see the vision for their lives and the vision for their businesses and the vision for their companies and their organizations, and then learn how to backtrack so that they can create action steps to get them there. Because not all action is equal. You have to make sure that you have the right actions and the right steps that are leading you in the right direction. Otherwise, you can be busy all day and not get a doggone thing accomplished that's going to get you closer to where you ultimately want to be.
That's true. Yep. Oh, man. You like nailed my first like 2 years in business. I thought I had to be everything to everyone. You know, I had to get everything done. I had to do it all myself. Nobody else understands me. They've never been where I've been, like all that stuff. And it was just like so wrong. It was so wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and everybody, and just look at what's being said now. Like, there's this whole celebration of the hustle mentality. And it's telling entrepreneurs
God.
And people that are business owners that they have to struggle and they have to do everything themselves and they have to be stressed out. And they, you know, team no sleep is the hashtag. Dude, I like my sleep.
Right.
I need my sleep. You know, if I don't sleep,
well,
I don't function.
Struggle porn.
Right. And it, because people look at it as being glamorous, you know, I'm struggling and I'm suffering and therefore, you know, I'm grinding it out. I hate the term grinding because gears grind. And when gears grind, you don't go anywhere. They just, you know, and you don't make any progress. So I have to tell people that, you know, what you're in love with is, you know, with struggle porn and hustling and all of that kind of stuff. What you're in love with is you're giving yourself an excuse to fail.
Mm.
That's all you're doing. You're telling yourself,
wow,
I'm struggling and I have to do it all myself and I have to do this. And so therefore, it's okay that my business hasn't grown. It's okay,
right,
that I haven't reached, you know, six figures yet. It's okay. And then they start looking for the shortcut. Yeah, make six figures in 2 weeks. Dude, no. It takes time,
gosh,
and effort. And if you're not willing to put in the work to do it, then you're not going to get it done. You know, I always, when I talk,
yep,
to my clients, okay, I can tell you, I have so many people and organizations that come to me and they say, hey, this is the outcome we want to achieve. This is what we want to do. But then when I outline the plan and say, okay, this is the work that's going to be involved. Yeah, really? Well, can't you just do it? No. I'm not going to do it for,
wow,
you. That defeats the purpose.
Right. Right.
But it's,
I mean, I'll happily
whole
charge
thing
a lot more. You know,
I've gotten to the point now. I don't even want to charge more to do it for you, because I've already been through the process. So to me, it's redundant. I've learned this lesson. I've done this before. I don't want to do it for somebody else. My why is in helping others to learn and to grow and to become better, not to do your homework for you. I mean, imagine how you would feel if you're in classes with people and you're going through to get a degree or you're getting another certification or you're going through your process of learning how to be a better speaker and you're practicing and you're going through and you're doing the work and laying the foundation of speaking in the places for free and going through and fine tuning your talk and everything. And you have somebody else that just comes up and somebody hands them a script, props them up in front of people that were paid to basically, you know, be in a promo video, and then they're out there and they're charging people all this money but leading them down the wrong path, you're going to be like, wait, you didn't do that right. And so you're doing more harm than good. So, yeah, I don't want to do your stuff because then you're always going to need me, and I don't want to be needed like that.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. And, again, I speak to the growth. Like, you have to grow, and
mm-hmm.
it's part of the process. You know, I think that the hustle mentality, I think it got misconstrued by somebody who got maybe hurt. Because I listen to a lot of Gary Vee. I listen to a lot of Tony Robbins, Simon Sinek, Grant Cardone. Mm-hmm. I listen to all these guys, you know, all the big influences. Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory. And, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And there's a speaker who I absolutely love that is amazing, and Eric Thomas. I don't know if you know who Eric Thomas is.
Yes, I love his stuff.
I love Eric Thomas. And he's always talking about the grind. Like, you got to grind it out. You got to grind it out. Like, don't give up. You got to grind it out. Like, when I think of hustle, I think of getting out there and making 100. Like, Grant Cardone talks about, he's like, I had to hustle, like, 100 phone calls a day. Even if I didn't want to make 100, I made 100 phone calls a day. I had to make 100 phone calls a day. I had to hustle through those calls. You know, so hustle, I mean, when you're on the baseball or football field, like, come on, hustle, hustle. Mm-hmm. Like, they want you to hurry up. Like, they want you to speed up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, when people see like Gary Vee and all these other people talk about hustle, I think that they've kind of misconstrued what hustle or grind, you know what I mean? And it's turned into this, I must suffer through the first 3 years of my business.
Like, I don't want, I mean, imagine if somebody walked up to you and said, you know what, you're going to hate this process. You're going to loathe it. You're going to cry every day. You're going to have headaches and migraines. Right. You're going to be struggling financially for 3 years. And then you're going to have a breakthrough where you're able to clear maybe $5,000 in a month. You're going to be like, wait, what? I get a job for that. Like, right. No. You know? And it's not even them saying that you're going to, I mean, because their definition, like you said, of hustle is do it faster. Their definition of grind is push it out. You know, with athletics, hustle and grind are two different things entirely.
Right.
But everybody else looks at it as, oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to use this as a description of why I'm struggling and I'm not moving any, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And that's the difference. These guys did it and they're influencers and at the top of their game and they're making money and they're changing lives and they've got, you know, thousands upon, you know, some millions of people following them. But the people on social media that you see, they're talking about their hustle and their grind and their struggle. They're not doing anything. They're using it as an excuse to not make progress.
100%. Absolutely agree. Yep. So for the listeners listening, if anything has resonated with you, you can call us up 657-383-1109. If you have a question for myself or for Keisha, 657-383-1109. We are standing by. Take your call. So what's next for you going into 2019? What is your 2019 BHAGs, if you will, your big, hairy, audacious goals?
That one is – okay, so.
I feel excited. Like something big is going to come right now.
I know, right? So I have always, I don't know if you remember the cartoon Pinky and the Brain, and, you know, it's like, you know, what are we going to do today? Same thing we do every day, try to take over the world. So in 2019, I have challenged myself to finally come out of the shadows and hiding in plain sight, so to speak, and to really push myself to be recognized and have my voice heard on an international stage. So my online academy that I've been toying around with for the past 3.5-4 years, but I've been planning for the last 10, is going to be launched January 1. I have a group called the CPC, which is all about sustaining and creating the power of collaborative connections. That's going to be launched. I will be doing more online events. I have a virtual summit that I am planning for later part of the year that I'm going to be releasing. And I am, in addition to my podcast, I'm also going to be doing a video blog and having my own mini TV show online. So I am pretty much kind of throwing open the curtains and saying, you know what? Here I am. Let's do this.
Awesome. What are you using for the TV show? Because I thought about kind of doing the same thing, maybe like a Facebook Live Friday or a kind of like a themed, you know, 20 minutes quick, you know, like a motivational Monday or like a Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, I'm toying with exactly how I want to present it because I love using Zoom as a platform. So it'll probably be recorded in Zoom. And then I've been kind of going between using my YouTube channel and releasing it on there. Or, I mean, Instagram has a channel now, so I know it'll be tied to that. So, but I'm looking for a platform where I can have people come to one place every time it's released for a new show. And so now I've got somebody who's the techie person who knows all that stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, this is what I want. So go find out what the best options are and then bring me the top three because I don't want to look past three. That's just too many things to consider for me. So I will definitely keep you on the loop with that and let you know what I find out so that you can, you know, skip some of the steps. So, yeah. But
well, I thought about using BeLive TV, but I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch, right?
Yeah.
Blue Jean, you can go live to Facebook and some different other social medias. OBS Studio is one that's used.
Right. But the key to it, what I'm looking at is longevity and sustainability because they have all of these different platforms that come up. But if they don't have it, because I look at the infrastructure behind it. So if the company behind it and the infrastructure behind it has some longevity and they've been around for a while and I know they're not going anywhere, you know, because Periscope and all these other ones that pop up and then they disappear.
I don't
want to tie my platform to something that may be new and great, but when it comes down to it, my info and my audience will end up being lost because they can't sustain what they're doing. Right, exactly. So, you know, there are certain things like, you know, YouTube's been around forever. I don't think it's going anywhere. So my content will end up on YouTube, just like my podcast content gets automatically published to YouTube. So, you know, having a channel on that. Facebook is changing the dynamics of what they're doing and how people are interacting. So you have to keep an eye on that. Ultimately, when it comes to your content and it comes to your audience and it comes to your messaging, I look at how can I ensure that this is going to be there for the long term? How can I ensure that what I'm talking about today with a guest and that I put up there is going to be available for somebody 5-10 years from now who wants to do a Google search or whatever search they're talking about then to be able to find this information so that they can piggyback on somebody else's experience and somebody else's knowledge in order to help them to grow faster. So
love it.
When I'm looking at things, I look at it from what I call a legacy building standpoint. How is this going to stand the test of time?
I love it. Way good.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
So as we start to close the show, we always do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and do. This is the time. Shameless plug moment. Go.
So shameless plug, Mindset to Mastery is my personal development platform. And the website, mindsettomastery.com, that's mindset, the number 2, mastery.com, has information on an upcoming program that I'm launching called Leading from Within. And it also has information about my podcast, the Mindset to Mastery podcast, that has new episodes that are released on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. So I would like you to follow the podcast, comment on it, and share it. And I would like you to sign up for my new Leading from Within program that is going to be launching in the next month. I repeat it a couple of times a year. So you can always go on and find information about what's the latest that's coming up. So shameless plug, mindsettomastery.com.
Perfect. I love it. Love it. So as we close, we always leave the audience with a nugget of knowledge. So what would be your nugget of knowledge that would motivate, transcend, and inspire inspire someone to take action today?
It is all in your mind. Change your mindset, master your success.
Oh, I love that. Change your mind, master your success.
Yes.
And that
applies to everything, because whatever is going on right now, change your mind, change your mindset, master your success.
I love it. Oh, it's a really great way
to
end the show.
Just break it down to the bottom line.
Love it. So thank you so much for being an amazing guest, amazing conversation. We covered a whole lot. If the listeners, want to know more about you, want to work with you, how would they get a hold of you?
The best way, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, but the best way is to go to my website at carsgroup.com. That's carsgroup.com. Or you can go to my website at mindsettomastery.com. That's mindset, the number 2, mastery.com. You can schedule an appointment to be able to talk to me for a 15-minute assessment, as well as send me a message so that we can talk further.
Amazing. Awesome. So much value in this episode. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest.
Thank you so much for being an amazing host. I told you, I love talking to you. We have fun every time.
We do. Amazing conversations happen.
Yes.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest who is impacting the world around her. If anything resonated with you about our conversation today, please reach out to Keisha. She is absolutely crushing it. She's amazing at what she does. And I beg you to contact her for that free assessment that she's talking about. Also, check out her podcast and everything else she is doing. It is in the show notes. Connect with her. She's absolutely amazing. So as we close, I always say to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deeper in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.